Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Man, I hope you guys had a blessed weekend. We're coming off a very special weekend here in Lynchburg, Virginia, as we just got done with our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. And man, let me tell you, God showed up and God showed off in such a powerful way. So many lives were changed. You guys should have seen the altar call. I mean, it was just breathtaking. God is so good. The passion of the entire conference and what the theme of it really was to take it all back, to let God use our pain, use our brokenness, and turn it into something amazing, to turn it into something good, to use tragedy and turn it into triumph. And that's exactly what he did. He spoke life, he spoke fight back into so many men, and I see and I feel a revival stirring in the hearts of so many men. What an amazing weekend it was. Guys, joining us today is a man that was actually at the conference, somebody that I was able to interview from stage. And he has an amazing story of hope and redemption. A guy who was a two-time All-American at The Ohio State University. And then he went on to be drafted 15th overall by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the 2014 NFL Draft. And then he was also a two-time Pro Bowler in the NFL, had a massive hit from life. In 2017, he was going to make a routine tackle, and unfortunately, he ended up what he thought was going to be something that he could do in his sleep. He ended up becoming paralyzed for a moment. He had a severe spinal injury. He had extensive surgeries done. He got told, hey, Ryan Shazier, you may never walk again. But unfortunately, when life tries to knock us down, sometimes we do get knocked down. Sometimes we start to question God. Sometimes we're asking God, why me? Why now? Are you serious? And when he doesn't make sense, a lot of people, unfortunately, run the other way. But thank God, because Ryan Shazier had people speaking into his life at such a young age, he was able to press in closer to the heart of God. He was able to press into consistency, to persistence, to dedication, to an unbelievable work ethic. And he was able to say, you know what? You may tell me I may never walk again, but I'm telling you I'm going to walk again. You don't know my God. And God showed up in such a powerful, powerful way. He not only is walking, but now he's running, he's training, he's living an amazing life, trying to influence and impact so many other people and bring them closer to the heart of God and helping them understand that even in their brokenness, God can use you in such a powerful way if you just don't give up. That's the theme of today, is don't give up. You guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mr. Ryan Shazier. Please stick around because it's coming to you right after that short break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
It's no secret there's a beatdown on men. Anything that's masculine. From the radical push to feminize men to changing the core of what it means to be a man. But God made man for a purpose and a reason. When King David was on his deathbed, passing the baton of leadership to his son Solomon, there's a lot he could have said to him. But he told his son these words, "Be strong and show yourself a man." You know why? Because he knew what was ahead of him. And it's because men matter, and they matter more than you know. It's time. Really, it's time to rise up. Some good news is that something is stirring. Something's happening all over the country and around the world. Men everywhere from every walk of life are stepping up and they're crying out, God, I want my life to count. I want to make a difference. I want to be all that you created me to be. You may feel as if everything is lost and that this is your darkest hour, but God loves to meet you in your brokenness. He loves to use those moments to remind you of his presence and his power. to send you running back to him for hope and strength. Hear me. You're not alone. God is there for you. And there is a remnant. There's an army. There's an uprising that's happening. Now is the time to show yourself a man and take it back.
Order your copy of Take It Back by Dr. Tim Clinton and Max Davis at timclinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Man, this is such a blessing, Ryan, just to get the opportunity to sit down with you, to hear a little bit more about your heart, about your story. First things first, I am a diehard Steeler fan. I swear I bleed black and yellow. My dad's actually from a small town up near Altoona, Pennsylvania, called Ansonville, Pennsylvania. I'm talking middle of nowhere, back in the woods, sticks type of Pennsylvania type stuff. But he grew up just loving the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steel Curtain. He watched all those guys. And it's amazing to see kind of God grow and work through my dad in his life as he's worked with a lot of professional athletes, spoken at a lot of team chapels. We actually came up a couple years back, and he spoke to the Steelers before your guys' big game with the Ravens. A couple years, I think that was 2018 probably. And so it's amazing to see it all come full circle and just to get the opportunity to sit down with you, somebody that I look up to, someone that has inspired so many people. But Ryan, what we want to do today is we want to go through your incredible life journey. We're going to go from high school to college, playing for the Steelers, the horrible injury that you suffered and the fight of your life. But then I want everybody and all the listeners specifically to understand that there's always backwater to every story, right? You don't just get on top of the mountains, right? You don't just show up there. You got to work your way and you got to battle your way there. And Ryan, from a young age, you are no stranger to adversity. At the age of 5, you were diagnosed with alopecia, which to the listeners, an autoimmune disease which takes away any hair growth in your body. And from a young age, you experienced a lot of bullying. So Ryan, just to start us off today, take us back to those moments and help our listeners understand what those years of your life looked like.
Yeah, when I was younger, it was tough. It was tough. I know a lot of people like to call it bullying. Where I grew up, we used to just call it cracking jokes, but obviously cracking jokes can turn into bullying.
Yeah.
So it was definitely hard, but I think my parents did a great job. Mm. I know they did. They did a great job of allowing me to understand who I am, always having confidence in who I am. So that really helped me overcome that adversity. And I think also helped me just be a positive person, because my mom always told me, hey, right, no matter what, just because you don't have any hair, you're no different than any other person. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something that they're hiding. Everybody can see yours. Mm-hmm. And that's what my parents used to tell me. She was like, everybody has something going on with them.
That's right.
But everybody just see what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. Most kids, they have something going on behind closed doors, but you just don't know what they're going through. You know, so a lot of times they are bullied or they display that in how they treat other people. So that was one way of when I was growing up, and my parents would just raise me and just help me understand just overcoming adversity. Mm-hmm. Just you have to look at things with a glass half full and a glass half empty type of mentality. And that really helped me out a lot.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because like you said, we live in a culture and society, especially for kids, where it's so easy to put on the mask, right? And we're hiding a bunch of stuff, but being authentic, being real, being genuine, saying, hey, no, I got something going on in my life. And like your mom's telling you, yours just was an outward appearance. But at the end of the day, the outward appearance doesn't define us, as we're going to figure out. Ryan, you know, in your toughest moments, I truly believe that God gives us relationships, right, that fuel us, or friends for the fire. And like you said, your parents were an integral piece of your life. Your dad, Mr. Vernon, serves as a pastor, and he instilled faith within you from a very young age. Ryan, how'd your faith in the Lord and also your family's unwavering love for you really just help you and grow you and build you really through those younger years of life?
Oh, it helped me so much. It helped me so much because my parents always said God has a reason for everything he does.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. When I was dealing with my alopecia at the moment when I was younger, man, I always be like, man, mom, like, I don't understand why all the other kids don't have hair. And my mom was like, Ryan, you just don't understand it right now. But when you get older, you're going to be able to be somebody that those kids can look up to.
Yeah.
You'll be somebody that people can look up to and be like, oh, man, Ryan Shazier is doing well. And he haven't had hair since he was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing now when it comes to my spinal cord injury. My family, we just continue to have faith and we knew God had a purpose for us. God had a plan for us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, every person, I don't know a person that doesn't go through this. You know, it's times when, you know, you're not judging, but you're asking God questions and like, why this or why that or why me or why not? But, you know, we just continue to have faith in him, continue to believe in him and just understand that he does everything for a reason.
Man, amen to that. He does do everything for a reason. There are times, though, right, when you're going through the valley where it's easy to question. I mean, sometimes it's hard to see, God, what is the purpose, right? Why are you putting me through this? Why are we putting me to the test? But like you said, the perseverance, that's the piece that so many people lack and so many people need to understand. I think that's why you're an inspiration in your life. So, Ryan, you go through, right, the teenage years, you're growing up, you're going through high school, and all of a sudden, God just amazingly gives you this opportunity, and as you mature in your faith, to fall in love with the game of football. Man, when was it that you really, like, what age was it that you really fell in love with the game, but then you also saw it as, man, I could possibly make a career out of this, go play Division I football, and, hopefully play in the NFL one day. What age was that for you?
So I fell in love with football when I was 5 years old. I think most people that knew me, they didn't know me when I was at a young age. They didn't know me when I didn't have a football in my hand or talking about football or just, you know, playing the game of football. I really started to realize that I was good enough to make it to college. Probably my freshman, sophomore year. My freshman year, I played JV football. Mm-hmm. The team moved me up. And I was lucky to play with Patrick Peterson on that team.
Wow.
He was a senior. I was a freshman, but I was on JV, so they just moved me up.
Right.
You know, I didn't really play. I only played like two games with them, but it was pretty cool. It was like two or three games. It was pretty cool. You know, I made a few tackles here and there, and it was kind of cool. But my sophomore year, I ended up transferring schools, but then I hurt my shoulder. And when I hurt my shoulder, I had the coaches were like, I think it'll be better if you play JV, you know, because you're still young and we don't want you to over hurt yourself, you know, playing varsity. So I played JV that year. And then I just had a crazy JV year. Then I moved up midway through the season, and I was doing really well on varsity when I was a sophomore. Going into my sophomore year, we started going to camps and things like that. And I just was tearing up the camps. And then we went to a Miami camp, and I ran a 4.4 at the end.
Wow.
And I was like, man, all right, I'm like, these are some of the best guys in the country. And then our first or second game of the year, my junior year, Florida State came to my school and gave me an offer.
Wow.
And once I got that offer from Florida State, I was like, man, I'm good enough to go to D1. You know, obviously I got the offer.
Yeah.
And when I was at Ohio State, I kind of knew that I was good enough to make it to the NFL. Mm. Pretty much springtime, we had spring football and we was going against a lot of seniors, a lot of the older guys. It's spring, they don't break up, especially in college, they don't break up the team.
Right.
And I did really well in the spring football game. And then I started a few games my freshman year. And when I was playing my freshman year, I'm like, oh man. I was like, if I could do this versus all these guys in the Big Ten and versus all these guys at Ohio State, I can definitely make it to the NFL. And then
That
point on, I knew it was like, I was going to go to the league.
It's amazing because, like you're saying, this kid who grew up with alopecia, but he had this perseverance of a champion, of a lion, really. And you named your son Lion. It's crazy, right? But what you did was you kept going, you kept persevering, you kept pushing, and then all of a sudden you just take off athletically. You become a star football player, Plantation High School, Lauderdale Lakes, Florida, then become a premier linebacker at the Ohio State University. It's tough for me to say that, man. I'm a Penn State fan. I'm not going to lie to you. But Ohio State University, you end your OSU career, 315 total tackles, two-time All-American. Recently, you were named to the Big Ten All-Decade Team. Then comes 2014 NFL Draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers select you with their first-round pick. Ryan, what was it like getting your name called 15th overall in the draft? I mean, what was that like?
Man, it was a crazy experience because I remember – getting ready to leave my junior year. And I told Coach Meyer and a few of the coaches at Ohio State that I was leaving. And, you know, a lot of them wanted me to stay. So they was like, hey, you know, Ryan, let's have a conversation after the season. I was like, Coach, I just want to let you know I'm going to the NFL, you know. And I was doing a lot of training. Then I pulled my hamstring when I was training for the combine.
Right.
And but I did all the combine drills, but ran my 40, and I didn't do any linebacker drills.
Right.
So I did the shuffle, the shuttle. I did the high jump. I mean the long jump. I'm thinking of track. Yeah, Olympics right now. I'm sorry. I did the broad jump. Then I did the vertical jump, and I placed top five in my position in all those. Some of them I was one, but I didn't run a 40. Because my hamstring, it was good, but it wasn't, you know, when it's like, it's not good enough to run a 40,
right,
you know,
right.
You know, so
absolutely.
So then I ran my, then I waited like 3 weeks. We had our pro day, and then I ended up running my 4.3. After I ran a 4.3, because I thought I was going to go late first round, early second. I thought I was going to go about second round.
Yeah.
And then when I ran about 4.3 at my pro day, I was like, I'm 100% going first round. I'm 100% going first round.
Absolutely.
And it was super cool because I visited a lot of teams, and I visited the Steelers. And when I visited the Steelers, they told me, the linebacker coach told me, like, "Hey, Ryan, you're a great player. I love how you play. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be honest. I don't know why you're here because we really don't need another linebacker. We have linebackers." So I'm thinking, like, "All right, I'm not going to the Steelers, you know." So, but I knew that they liked me. And at the draft, I knew the Cowboys liked me a lot as well. At the draft. It was, you know, we had Clowney and Odell Beckham and we had a really stacked draft class, Khalil Mack and things like that.
Wow.
And I knew I was good, and I felt like I was one of the best players in the draft, but I knew I wasn't going to go one, you know, so I wish I could have went one, but I knew I wasn't going to go one.
Yeah.
I didn't have the height, weight, speed, you know, I had the speed, you know, but I just didn't have the height, you know, so the first like 15 picks, I was like, man, I was just trying to look good at a draft. I had bought some shoes. They was a little too small, so I was just like, I'm going to take my shoes off. I was actually walking around the green room with just socks on, my dress socks on. Around like the 13, 14 pick, I was like, I'm like, all right, now it's time for me to get, you know, it's about my time at the draft. You know, like, I was like, around 14 later, I'm like, I'm about to get drafted.
Yeah.
So I was literally putting my shoes back on, and then a phone ring on my table. So it was my agent's phone, and it was the Dallas Cowboys. They had the 16th pick.
Wow.
He was on the 14th pick. They had the 16th pick. And it was like, hey, I just want to let you guys know we're about to draft Ryan with the next pick. The phone that's on the table was like the draft phone.
Right.
And that phone called. And it was like, hey, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. So like my dad texts his family and everything, hey, Ryan's about to go to the Cowboys. Because it's literally like within one pick.
Wow.
And then I ended up going to the Steelers the pick before. It was just such an amazing time and moment for my family. And it was just exciting because every kid dreams about going to the NFL, especially if they play football. I'm not just saying the NFL, but they dream about going, you know, pro in any of the sports that they play. A lot of the kids do. And to be able to go first round is just, you know, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and I will never forget it.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. I'm so glad that the Steelers took you before the Cowboys, because I can't stand the Cowboys, man. Ryan, you explode onto the scene. By 2015, you become one of the most dominant forces and one of the most well-known and respected and revered defenses in the league of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, you got, like I said, the Steel Curtain earlier, so many great middle linebackers that come through, and so seasoned, right? And you're coming through, and that's nothing more hard-nosed than that. But then you go on, you make two Pro Bowl selections. I mean, the sky's the limit for you, man. I got to ask you up front, though, before we get into the big turning stone. Who was it when you're playing that you just looked forward to hitting the most? You know what I mean? It was like the dude where it's like, dude, I cannot wait to lay the smack down on this guy.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Because the thing is, I know I hit really hard, but I never really intentionally hit people
hard.
Oh,
yeah, of course not.
You know, like it's some guys that intentionally hit people hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm never one. I actually was one of the guys, like, I just ran to you so fast that you got hit hard.
Right.
You know, but I think whenever we played the Cincinnati Bengals, they were a lot better at the time.
Yeah.
But whenever we played the Cincinnati Bengals, we knew it would be a really physical game, and the Ravens would be a really physical game. So whenever we played those two teams, it was always fun because they used to talk a lot of smack to each other. We used to talk a lot of smack to each other. So I think it was always a good time when we played against the Ravens or the Bengals. And I can't really I can't really say a specific player, though.
Absolutely. I mean, that's right. In conference rival in the Bengals, and it's funny you say that because we're going to make the transition here. And, Ryan, you know, like I said, you're on top of the world. You're playing in the NFL. Dream come true. You're killing it. Two Pro Bowl selections. But then December 4th, 2017, your life changes forever. Ryan, can you take our listeners, help them understand that moment and what happened that night against the Bengals?
Yeah, it was a crazy time because I was actually not supposed to play that game. Hmm. I had sprained my ankle the week before when we played the Green Bay Packers, and I didn't practice one day that week in practice.
Wow.
I didn't practice one day. I didn't take one rep in practice.
Wow.
But I was behind the team, and I took a lot of mental reps, so I would just see what the team was doing, what was happening in front of me. I took a lot of mental reps, and when that happened, it was crazy because I was having a good game. I think I had like 4 or 5 tackles. It was the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm about to have a good game. I'm about to have a good game. And then, you know, unfortunately, it was just a crossing route. I just tried to make a routine tackle.
Yeah.
When I tackled a guy, it felt weird because I just, out of nowhere, you know, you were just trying to get back up and I couldn't get up. Mm-hmm. And then from that moment on, it was a bit scary, you know, just, not being able to get up when you want to, or just to move around when you want to is a very humbling but deflating feeling.
Absolutely, man. You wind up suffering from a severe spinal injury, which required an extensive surgery. And Ryan, some people, and I'll take it a step further, some doctors truly didn't believe you would ever be able to walk again. You know, what was going through your mind during those moments, right? Going from the mountaintop moments on top of the world, playing in the NFL, like we're saying, living out your dreams to all of a sudden being told, hey, Ryan, you may be wheelchair bound the rest of your life. Because I'm sure there are moments, right, that were discouraging, probably very devastating because of this injury, but you chose not to let it define you. And then, like you said up front, probably some God, why me moments, right? Is this really happening to me right now? Ryan, how'd you navigate your way through that?
So, and this is where having alopecia when I was younger comes in.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I couldn't control at the moment, but I knew that, hey, what I can't control is just being positive and just being, I'm going to overcome this. And that's the mindset I had the whole time. That's the mindset my family had.
Yeah.
So we always felt no matter what I'm going through, whatever's going on, that I'm able to get through this. I can fight through this. And I just continue to trust God. I prayed with God. My family prayed with God. And my family did something that was really strong and powerful for me. Whenever they never let me see them in a dark place. Mm. They might have seen me in a dark place, but they never let me see them. So they never cried around me. I never seen anybody in my family cry when I was in the hospital. Mm. My dad said he cried about 10 times a day, but I would never see it.
Wow.
You know, and whenever a friend or family would come by, they would stop and just tell them, hey, we're all bringing positive energy. Mm-hmm. Ryan's going to walk again. And that's the mindset we got to have going in here. And I think with everybody in my corner believing that I was going to get better and just everybody saying, hey, Ryan, you're going to get better. It meant the world to me, you know, and I all the prayers that were sent, it meant the world to me. And I think that is what really helped me overcome this.
Man, it's amazing because you truly have the warrior mindset. When I think of somebody who's built different, right, the title of our podcast, The Built Different Podcast, Ryan Shazier comes immediately to my mind because, like you said, though, it goes back to the power of relationships, the people that were pouring into you, that were investing in your life, that were showing you strength and encouragement and uplifting you. And then, obviously, you know, this relentless work ethic and what a lot of people really call a miracle from God transpires. And Ryan, you start defying all the odds. A guy that's not supposed to walk again, you walk across the stage to announce the Steelers' first draft pick in the 2018 NFL draft. You walk your beautiful wife down the aisle on your wedding day and dance with her at your wedding. You're able to play with your sons, RJ and Lion. Now you're not only walking, but you're running and you're training. Ryan, help us understand what role the Lord has played through this comeback season of your life and how he's remained faithful and constant throughout your entire journey.
Yeah, so the Lord has been here every step of my journey. Yeah. I know it's definitely, like I said before, it's definitely times I ask him why me or why am I going through this? So I might have been arguing with myself, but I'll argue with God. Like, I don't understand this. You know, I don't understand why I have to go through this struggle, you know, but every step of the way, you know, we continue to just trust him, continue to believe in him. And just one of the things that I love is this work without faith is dead. Mm. You know, because a lot of people say, hey, I want to walk again, but they don't want to put the work. And I feel like I ask God for something, but also put the work in. And I think that's what really allowed me to continue to get better, because I continue to trust in him. But then he also helped me continue to get better. But then I also wanted the Lord to see how strong he is and how big he is, because he wanted to use a big figure to let people know, no matter what you do, whatever, no matter what people tell you, you can overcome it.
Mm, amen to that.
I feel like that's the purpose that he used me for. Mm. He felt like, hey, Ryan, you're a great football player, but I feel like you're the best person for this moment. I feel like you're the best person to be able to stand up, because you're positive. You know how to overcome adversity, and you're the best person to lead people to believe that they can do better.
Mm, that's so good. And you stood up in that moment, right? You felt like your number was being called by the Lord, and you took it as almost your obligation or your responsibility to say, you know what, you're right. I'm not going to let this hold me down. Ryan, just in closing, man, I got one more question for you, and I could talk to you all day long. Like I said, diehard fan, love you to death, inspired by you every day. But one thing I really want people to understand through this episode is that beauty can prevail through the ashes. Right? There's no testimony without the word test coming up front, right? And a lot of what you've done is you've turned this mess into your message. Ryan, with the fact, you know, that even in the face, in the midst of opposition and adversity, Jeremiah 29:11 says God's plan and his will are perfect for our lives, right? He created us with this very unique purpose. And I know that it's hard sometimes, like we're saying, when we're going through the difficulties, when we're going through the ringer or the fires of life and the storms come rolling in, to really believe that. God, your plan, okay, is it actually perfect, right? This happened to me. This shouldn't have happened to me. But Ryan, let me say this. I think it's amazing to see, because of your never quit attitude and the faithfulness of the Lord, that even in the midst of the hardship, I feel like you have undoubtedly reached more individuals because of what you've gone through than you ever possibly could have on a football field. So it's amazing to see it all come to fruition. And Ryan, just to leave us today, I want you to talk a little bit about what you're now doing with the Ryan Shazier Fund for Spinal Rehabilitation, and maybe what else is on your horizon for you specifically, and what me and all of our listeners can do to get involved in helping those in need.
So I started a Ryan Shazier Fund for Spinal Rehabilitation for those who suffer from the same thing I did. Yeah. There's a lot of people who suffer from spinal cord injuries that don't get the same support or the same means as I was able to get. Obviously, I was blessed because of the situation I was in, but I don't wish this upon anybody, not even my worst enemy.
Yeah.
So I try to provide, and the fund is going to provide, you know, more support for others who are dealing with spinal cord injuries. It may come from modifications in their home, may come from extra rehab, it may come from helping their family members, because the caregivers are the ones who are going through this also. Mm. The average person that has a spinal cord injury loses almost $2.3 million in their life because of a spinal cord injury.
Wow.
And I just, you know, I think it's really difficult for people to be able to rebound if they don't have the support system that the Ryan Shazier is going to provide, but then also extra rehab and extra just support. So the Ryan Shazier Fund is for those to try to help them, provide them more support so they can become independent. Your independence is a little bit different than mine. Yeah. One person may want to walk again, one person may want to play football again, but another person may just want to be able to play with their kids and get out of a power wheelchair and get into a manual, or get it from a manual or use a cane. So we're trying to provide that support and help those individuals that's dealing with it.
Amen, Ryan. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I challenge all of our listeners to go look up the Ryan Shazier Fund for Spinal Rehabilitation, get involved, give as much as you can, because like Ryan said, he's doing this for an amazing cause. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. Keep influencing, keep impacting, keep inspiring the next generation and everybody that you come in contact with, man. You are an amazing person, an amazing man, husband, father, so much more than just a football player. So Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Man, everybody, what a powerful episode with Mr. Ryan Shazier. That dude, seriously, he knows what it's like to be on the mountaintops, right? Like I said, 2-time All-American at The Ohio State University, 15th overall draft pick, 2-time Pro Bowler. He was a superstar in the NFL. getting all the fame, getting all the attention, getting all the fortune, right? Delivering the hits. And then life delivered that big hit to him. But it's amazing to see what can happen when we press in closer to the heart of God. What God always whispered into my life in some of my very toughest moments when life just didn't make sense, when God just didn't make sense. Zach, in the absence of clarity, there is an invitation to intimacy with me. Let me say that again. In the absence of clarity, there is an invitation to intimacy with God. And he extends it to each and every one of us in our moments of brokenness, in our moments of bitterness, in our moments of questioning. I challenge you to press in closer to the heart of God than ever before and let him show up for you, because he is always there. He's always in your midst. And he's not just allowing you to go through it, he's experiencing it all with you. And he's not just allowing you to go through it, he's experiencing it all with you. I'm telling you, he is there and he will always be right there. You are never alone. But as Ryan Shazier, what the whole theme of that entire story and his entire testimony is about is, don't you dare give up, because you, my friend, are never out of the fight. Guys, we love you. We're so thankful for you. As always, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next time on the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcast, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.